I think we will head to the UK now, and our correspondent today is Harriet Lyne. Hello, Harriet.
Hello, good morning.
Look, we have to do it again. Unfortunately, we have to say that the numbers of cases of COVID-19 are rising sharply in the UK.
That's right. We've had a pretty significant rise in coronavirus cases over the last couple of weeks. And today, the highest figure since May, we had 3,991 lab-confirmed cases in the UK in the last 24-hour period. Now, although that is the highest total since May, we're not completely comparing apples with apples with these figures. We are testing a lot more people than we were back then, but the case numbers are definitely going in the wrong direction. Now, we learned earlier this month that cases were beginning to rise among younger people, but Boris Johnson confirmed today he appeared before MPs at the Commons Liaison Committee, which is a committee of senior MPs, and he confirmed that the disease is spreading from the young to those who are more vulnerable, the elderly, with cases in over 80s doubling in just days. And he warned, of course, that that would lead to mortality, and the government is desperately trying to get a handle on this rise. The rule of six, which we've become quite a colloquialism here now, banning social gatherings indoors and outdoors with more than six people, came into force on Monday. But there are fears that this isn't going to be enough to slow the spread, and that we might be heading down a pathway towards curfews and even more restrictions to try and stop this getting out of control. Now, unfortunately for the government, this comes in a kind of background with testing chaos. The government's been forced this week to begin drawing up a list setting out who will be at the front of the queue for coronavirus tests, because it's described a colossal spike in demand. People have been unable to get tests across the country, which means that children who've been sent home from school because they have coronavirus symptoms are being forced to stay off school for longer than they necessarily need to, because they may not have coronavirus. It might just be a bit of a cough or a sniffle, but they can't go back until they get a negative test. And also for health workers, not doctors, nurses, are being forced to stay away from hospitals because they have some kind of symptoms but aren't being able to get a test. Now, Boris Johnson said that the government is also concerned about a rise in infections in care homes, where, of course, we saw a huge number of fatalities earlier this year. And he's promised a new action plan with tougher rules on staff moving between different care settings. But it is a really tricky issue for the government. And I think it really came into the fore today. Boris Johnson appeared at Prime Minister's Questions, where he would usually, of course, be faced by the Labour leader, Sir Keir Starmer. But Keir Starmer wasn't able to appear because his child had developed coronavirus symptoms and had a test on Monday. And until just half an hour before Prime Minister's Questions, we only learnt then that the test had come back negative. And of course, that's not enough time for the leader of an opposition to prepare and suddenly kind of come forward for PMQs. But I think that just showed that these delays are affecting pretty much everyone across the country, and quite how acute this crisis is. And Angela Rayner, who stood in for him, the deputy leader of the Labour Party, warned that we're staring down the barrel of a second wave with no plan for the looming crisis.
And the rule of six on social gatherings, that came into force on Monday. This is outside of workplaces, isn't it? And outside of the home too, I think. Just remind us what it covers.
No, so it includes everything indoors and outdoors. Wow. So apart from households, who, if you had, you know, seven children, then you would be okay. Or if you form a social bubble. So if you live on your own, you're able to live on your own, or are a single parent household, you're able to form a bubble with another household. And that is the only real notable exception, apart from things like funerals and weddings, where you can have up to 30. But in the workplace, of course, more than six people can gather, but you are meant to be keeping social distancing in place. But it does lead to this slightly strange situation where you might be able to go to a village pub where you perhaps know everyone there, but legally you must remain within a group of six. And we were told earlier this week from the Home Secretary that mingling would not be allowed. So if you were, for example, walking down a street as a family of six and saw a friend across the way, you shouldn't stop and talk to them, in her understanding of the law, which I think has been scoffed at by many people and probably won't be obeyed quite that strictly, of course. The point is to try and stop house parties and big gatherings in fields and parks, for example, to try and stem the spread. But the law has been mocked somewhat this week.
Harriet, to this extraordinary standoff, the Prime Minister's position on the changing the Brexit withdrawal agreement. What is the latest? We've had a resignation.
That's right. We've had quite a tumultuous few hours, actually. Boris Johnson's a senior law officer in his government tonight resigned. And Boris Johnson was also forced into a compromise over this plan to break international law by overriding the Brexit withdrawal agreement. And the government announced this evening that it would table an amendment to what's known as the UK Internal Market Bill, so that MPs could have a vote before it uses powers which would breach the deal that we brokered, that was brokered with Brussels last year. Now, around 30 Tory MPs were thought to be likely to rebel on this and prepare to vote for an amendment tabled by Tory MP Sir Bob Neill on Tuesday, which would have required a Commons vote before the provisions in this internal market bill relating to Northern Ireland could have come into force. Now, the bill is broadly designed to prevent new barriers to intra-UK trade from emerging after Brexit, and mostly it is quite uncontroversial. But these elements on Northern Ireland have caused huge controversy. And Brandon Lewis, the Northern Ireland Secretary, last week told the Commons that the bill would break international law, but in his words, only in a specific and limited way. Now, that of course raised eyebrows in Brussels and caused this concern among many Tory MPs and also five former prime ministers, which is why they tried to introduce a sort of parliamentary lock. But tonight, as I said, Downing Street relented and announced in a joint statement with Bob Neill and another senior Conservative MP, Damian Green, that it would seek to amend the bill to require the Commons to vote before a minister can use the notwithstanding powers contained within it. But it came just, I think, an hour after the government's top law officer for Scotland resigned amid reports that he was unhappy with this plan to override the withdrawal agreement. That's Lord Keane, who is the Advocate General for Scotland, who tendered his resignation to the Prime Minister on Wednesday morning. Curiously, we didn't have a response from Downing Street until after the Prime Minister had appeared before the liaison committee. But Lord Keane said in his resignation letter that he had found it increasingly difficult to reconcile what he considers to be his obligations as a law officer with the Prime Minister's policy intentions with respect to the internal market bill. And he said that he'd endeavoured to identify a respectable argument for the provisions in the bill, but it's now clear that this will not meet your policy intentions.
So where are we at with the bill? Are we looking at rebels within the, well, you hardly call them rebels when they want to obey the law, but are we looking at many within the Conservative Party essentially trying to block this bill?
Well, it did look as though about 30 Tory MPs would have tried to block it or to try to amend it with this Bob Neill amendment. I think the key will be the detail of what the government's proposal that they're going to put forward as their amendment shows as to whether it actually goes far enough to satisfy those Conservative MPs. But Boris Johnson, of course, has a majority of 80. Whether 30 MPs would rebel by voting against it, even if they did, that wouldn't really quite be enough to stop this bill going through. So I think it is really likely that the bill will succeed whatever. I think the question will be whether this amendment from the government goes far enough to kind of satisfy those Conservative MPs who had deep reservations, but presumably it didn't go far enough to satisfy Lord Keane, the Advocate General for Scotland, given he still resigned and that resignation was only announced just shortly before this compromise from the government came forward. So I think it will be very interesting when the small print in that bill comes out to know actually just what the government is proposing and if it is indeed still in breach of international law.
Extraordinary times. Thank you very much, Harriet Lyon, our UK correspondent.